Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the biggest bragging points about this team is we have like 40 guys show up to our Bible study sometimes on every Thursday, and that's really a credit to them. It started with like 5 guys, but it's grown to like 40, and this team is just so close, and everything that we do as a unit.
So there you have it, the quarterback for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish playing in the national championship game this Monday, talking about the Thursday night Bible studies that they have. Now you might be thinking, well, Annie, it's Notre Dame. Of course, they're having Bible studies. I think that there's something in a movement right now at Notre Dame where this has become even more important. And we see on the other side of the football coming into this Monday national championship game that Ohio State has certainly bared witness to their Christian faith quite a bit. And to talk about that today, such an honor and a pleasure to have on the Annie Fry Show, Coach Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Annie, and I look forward to it.
Well, I want to give you the opportunity. Of course, you are a very successful coach at Notre Dame University, and faith has always been an important part of what the Irish do and stand for. I'm wondering if you feel, in your observation of college football, maybe even professional sports, if there is a culture shift taking place where Christianity and religion is being emphasized.
I certainly hope so. One of the great advantages about being at the University of Notre Dame was I could talk about my faith. I could talk about the Bible study. I could talk about the mornings we go over the Proverbs with our football team. And you didn't have to worry about somebody calling the president complaining because of your strong feeling. But I think we all have that foxhole religion, Annie. I can't begin to tell you how many times I prayed when Michigan was on our two-yard line. Oh, God, you stop them. I'll change my look the way I do things. Same thing. You go by the grotto wheel where you can light a candle. Well, before we played Southern Cal, there wasn't any vacancies with them, nor was there before a final exam at Notre Dame. So this is just a normal thing. We have a faith. The more difficult is. They told me before, there are no atheists in a foxhole. And when we have a need for somebody far greater than us, we always turn to God. Unfortunately, we don't do it on a consistent basis, daily basis.
Yeah. We're speaking with Coach Lou Holtz right now. And as we've watched this college football playoff each week go by, we're seeing people from all different universities, the winners. We're also seeing the people who are losers who are making a priority. It's never a part of the question. How did your faith get you here? But we're seeing players take that opportunity to make it a priority to give God glory, to talk about their faith. Why do you think these young men in this position right now are being motivated to prioritize these types of sentiments?
Hopefully it's because their head coach has really promoted this and pushed it. And the one thing is the fact that when things aren't going well, we always going to turn to somebody far greater than us. When we feel the problem is bigger than us, we feel we need to turn to God. But, you know, I was a Catholic, went to Catholic grade school, taught by the nuns Sisters of Notre Dame. And the one thing I learned is that you have to have a faith in God. I don't know how people get through life without a faith in God. And that's what I tell our players. I tell the people this day. I'm an old man. I'm 88. My birthday candles cost more than a cake. However, we all have problems and difficulties. That's the one thing about life. I don't care how old you get. You don't run away from your problem. You run away from challenges and being able to handle them. And what we find is God doesn't reduce the problems, but he enables you to handle them in a mature way.
You know, I would think I played sports coach through my senior year of high school, but going into a collegiate at the level with which these young men are playing, you know, now, of course, in the national championships with Ohio State and with Notre Dame, the amount of pressure on these young men has got to be just absolutely enormous. But I would assume that the process of going through a football program with the amount of discipline that is involved, this is a way where young men, where young boys can become young men, strong men. If you don't add faith into that, do they lose out on an opportunity that can go with them once they leave that college program? Does faith add to that disciplinary growth that they can experience?
I don't think there's any doubt about that, Eddie. And, you know, we all have faith, but it's a question of how strong our faith. Now, the football coach can go a long ways to determining the faith that's on your football team. But also, if the leader of your football team has a strong Christian belief, then the players are going to follow them. It's like anything else. If you have good leadership at the top and people say, you know, my goal was to live my life, and people say, I don't know what's different about him, but there's something about him that enables him to handle all the problems and difficulties. That's when you get a chance to express about your faith in God. And as an older boy, my parents were both Catholic, both sides of family were very, very religious, went to church every single Sunday. My grandmother went to church every single day. And when you're raised in that environment, how about having a faith? We prayed before every meal. We prayed at night. And you have to understand that there's somebody far greater than us. All you have to do is look around the world. And you're going to tell me this happened by accident? No, there's a reason. I mean, that we have four seasons during the course of the year, and how that we revolve around the sun and the moon revolves. It goes on. It's too complicated for me to understand. So I think it had to be handled by somebody far smarter than me and far better than me.
We're speaking with Coach Lou Holtz. He is also the chair of the Center for 1776 at America First Policy Institute and host of the Lou Holtz Show, which I encourage you to check out. Coach, as young men are in a position to prepare for something like a national championship, like the Notre Dame Irish are going to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes here on Monday. These are both incredible football teams. My husband has been, back in the days where we all didn't have cable, fell in love with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as a young boy in Southern Illinois. And so I married into an Irish loving family and have been to the grotto that you were talking about, and the history and everything around it is so magnificent. What do you, when you're coaching in this moment, what do you do to make the world and all the noise stop and bring these men into a position to be able to compete ultimately at this final football game?
Well, just try to talk about realistic. We're here not because we won the lottery, not because somebody picked us. We're here because we played very well. We followed a plan. We executed. We practiced. We prepared. We made good choices. And it'll be the same thing against one of these two teams out of here with a championship. And let me say this. You go by the visiting hotel of the losing team, boy, it's like a morgue. I mean, even though you finished second in the country, tremendous year. But that particular moment where you lose, it's like death. And I hate to say that because I lost my wife of 59 years, 4 years ago, but there's a big difference. But you aren't going to understand what a great accomplishment you had by finishing second. No, nobody worries about that. They just want to be number one. We were number one. We finished second on three different occasions at Notre Dame. We finished second at the University of Arkansas. And you come close, but you don't get any cigar. Nobody praises you. You say, oh, that's great. You were runner-up. No, it's just like so many places will have who won the golf tournament, but they never talk about who finished second. So let's just go there. We're going there to win. We're a good football team. And let me tell you how we're going to win. Notre Dame can win this football game. I don't think there's any doubt that Ohio State's the best team in the country. They have the highest NIL payroll in the entire country. They're very, very talented. They're very well coached. Their defensive coordinator is outstanding. So is their offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly. And of course, coach has really done a nice job for Ohio State. However, they may be the best team, best talent, but they aren't going to be the best team on Monday night. And here's what Ohio State has to do. They've got to be able to run the football. The old cheer, first and 10, do it again, it really applies to this football game. Let's run the ball. Let's get first down. And their great quarterback, their great receivers going to be on the bench, and they aren't going to be able to catch the ball. They aren't going to be able to put 8 points on the board. So let's be patient just in trying to get a first down. And if we can't get a first down, there's nothing wrong with kicking the ball away. And I think if you can stay close into the fourth quarter, Ohio State's usually used to winning by a big score. All of a sudden, you get in the fourth quarter, and you're tied or you're down by three, they will panic. And I think that's why Notre Dame will win this football game. The culture of the Notre Dame football team is really special. And all football teams go through four stages, Annie. Stage number one, they learn how to compete. You learn how to compete because you execute the fundamentals. You block and you tackle very well. Then you get to phase two, you learn how to win. You learn how to win because you do little things the right way. Everybody does the big things. It's a great team to do the little things. Then you get to phase three, you learn how to handle winning. And this is a problem because once you start winning, everybody forgets what it was like when they're losing. Everybody wants to stand around, pat their chest and say, well, I did this. And it doesn't have a doggone thing to do with the future. Then when you get through those three stages, you go to stage four, which is what I call the championship stage. And that's where the culture of your football team is determined by the players. They don't wait for the coach to get on somebody for not doing things the right way. This is the way we do things at Notre Dame. This is why we're going to be a very, very special team. And I think Notre Dame has that culture right now, and that will enable them to win a close game. And let me say this also. You get in a game like this, you want to win the game. But the first thing you tell the football team, let's not lose it. There are too many people that worry about winning. They end up losing. Look what missed Penn State. Penn State's lost so many big games, but they lose to Notre Dame because they tried to win it. They throw an interception with a minute to go inside their 40-yard line. That's right. Let's not lose it. Let's not beat ourselves. Let's kick the ball away, play good defense, and just play the game the way it should be played and not expect a miracle.
Well, it's incredibly sage advice. I'm going to go back and listen to this interview and write down those four phases. Notre Dame certainly is in that championship phase, but you've been talking about culture. There's been a lot of buzz about Marcus Freeman as the head coach, pretty freshly, you know, newer to the program, hasn't been there forever. What do you know about Marcus Freeman? What can you tell us about, you know, we see him calling plays and coaching on the sideline. What do we not know about Marcus Freeman as a leader of this team?
Well, he's an outstanding individual. I know quite well. He's young. Well, guess what happened a third year for Eric Persich and Dan Devine and Lou Holtz? We won a national championship. Guess what? This is the third year for Marcus Freeman. So I think there's just some things that are meant to be. And that tradition will hold up. But I'll tell you the most important thing about Marcus Freeman, I've seen a lot of coaches come and go since I've left Notre Dame. But the one thing about him, he loves Notre Dame. He loves the Lady of the Dome. He loves being there. He loves the stand. He loves everything about the school and he expresses it. I've seen coaches be there, have some success at Notre Dame, but it was all about them. That's what they talked about. They pat themselves on the chest. Marcus Freeman loves the players, loves Notre Dame, and loves the environment. And he's a perfect man for Notre Dame. That's why he's going to win the national championship and why it's long overdue.
Well, you heard it here. That's a great prediction. And it sure seems like Notre Dame loves Marcus Freeman. And I know another thing for sure, Coach. Notre Dame loves Lou Holtz. And we're very grateful for your time here. Thank you. We are looking forward to watching your predictions as a Notre Dame family, myself, come through on Monday night and celebrate along with the rest of the Irish for the Ohio State Buckeye fans listening. Hopefully it'll be a good game. It sounds like you think it's going to be a good close game.
I do. When they came up the playoff, I started predicting the wins, and I predicted weeks ago it would be Ohio State versus Notre Dame. And I love Ohio State. I went to school in Ohio. I was raised in Ohio. I coached Ohio State under Woody Hayes. We won the national championship. I love that place. But it's not Notre Dame. As I say to our players, remember, we're Notre Dame and they ain't. And I'm glad to hear you say about the people loving me. I love Notre Dame, and it was a pleasure and a privilege and a blessing to be able to coach there. And Marcus Freeman feels the same way. He deserves a national championship. I hope his time has come. I think it will, but we'll have to see.
Thank you for your witness with us today, Coach Holtz. It's good to have you here, and it's going to be quite a week for college sports, for America on the whole. We appreciate you being a part of it with us here today.
But it's also going to be a great week for God, because more and more people turn to God when things don't look real good.
Well, we appreciate you. Coach Lou Holtz, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. What a pleasure it is to have Coach Lou Holtz on the Annie Fry Show here. Ethan sitting in the studio with us. You throw your microphone on right now. Ethan goes, can I sit in the studio for this? I mean, as he says there, 88 years old, and as smart as he ever has been, and so well-spoken. I've always appreciated his willingness to speak on his faith. You watch a ton of sports. Mm-hmm. You feeling like the people are, you're Christian, you're an outspoken Christian as well, Ethan. Do you feel like you're seeing more of this in sports than the usual? People willing to prioritize these types of comments?
Yeah, I think I am. And I think that the difference that I'm seeing isn't necessarily like, you know, we've always heard the glory be to God. And I think even a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this on Wiggins America, it's more so as a believer, you know, if for me, it becomes what exactly are you saying? Because it's easy to say it after a victory when things are going well and, oh, thank the Lord, I couldn't have done this without him. But we have seen more than just that. We have seen people declaring Jesus as their Lord and Savior, gospel dropping. We've seen it after losses.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a level deeper than just saying like, oh, thank you, God, for the win. And I think that's, I've taken notice of that. And I know that I'm not the only one that has. We've seen this go far beyond just the cameras. We've seen even on, you know, we heard Riley Leonard talk about just the culture shift that the Notre Dame football team has experienced. You know, there was earlier in the school year at Ohio State, I mean, there were baptisms going on in the middle of campus. Where yeah. There were just football players. There were students just getting baptized right in the middle of that, you know, very famous campus. And so this is more than just, in my opinion, your typical on camera, oh, we won the big game, thank you, God, for that. Couldn't have done it without you. This is diving a step deeper.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch and take it in and see how it snowballs a little bit. It's a good week for God. That's what Lou Holtz says. You heard it from him. Let's take a quick break. We'll get Ryan Wiggins back in studio and feature some of your thoughts on this poll. Is there a religious culture shift taking place in America? Erica says on YouTube, ultimately, I answered no, but I come from a unique perspective as I'm not Christian. I maintain that I think it's beneficial to have healthy Christian culture. That's a very interesting position on the issue. Ender says, yes, however, I believe it's more of a counterculture shift than it is a true finding of religion. How do you feel about it? The Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can come vote. You can leave a comment as well. We'll be right back.